in your song folders, the blue song folders, to number 43, number 43 in the new song folders, Our God Reigns.
Good morning and welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let all the earth tremble before our God.
Buenos dias y bienvenidos a esta iglesia en Prairie Street Mennonite Church en esta mañana. Adora al Señor en la belleza de santidad, que toda la tierra tiembla antes de nuestro Dios.
Please turn in the purple book to number 75.
And please stand.
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, Jesus' name. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, Jesus' name.
Sisters and brothers, we come to worship this morning trusting in God's mercy and love, longing to know and to learn more about God's ways. We come to be guided in the ways of God's truth and to experience the joys of God's salvation. We come at the beginning of our Lenten journey aware of God's steadfast love, helping us to overcome the trials and temptations which can descend upon us at any time. Lead us, O God, to do what is right in your eyes, and teach us to follow the humble ways of Christ, your beloved Son, our Redeemer. And I will turn to the hymnal of worship book, number 61.
Let's turn to Sing the Story, number 62. Sing the Story, the purple songbook. Create in me a clean heart.
On the front of your bulletin, you'll find the call to, or excuse me, the confession. Please turn there and follow along. I will read the fine print, and then please all read the bold print. Have mercy on me, God, in your kindness. In your compassion, blot out my offense. Wash me more and more from my guilt, and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Now, sisters and brothers, for the words of assurance, please stand in body or in spirit. And let us inhale deeply to symbolically receive the spirit of our God who breathed life into Adam. Sisters and brothers, God, the heavenly parent of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, has invited us into the story that is being written. Though sin is present, forgiveness and reconciliation are the major themes of this book. Take heart in this promise. Let us share in this promise together by passing the peace of Christ, by turning to each other and saying, "The peace of Christ be with you," and responding, "Also with you." Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
My name is Carl, and some of my kids are here. My kids are Silas and Junia and Nathaniel. And last night, Silas and Junia went with me to take my parents on a trip. They're going to a place called Puerto Rico, which had a big hurricane and needs to be rebuilt. And some other people in our church have been to the same place in Puerto Rico. There's a school in Puerto Rico in the middle of the island called Academia Menonita Betania. That's a school that's related to our church. And when I was a kid, I lived there for a couple of years with my family. So now my parents are going back to help them rebuild. And some other folks in our church have been there too, and you can ask Al and Lois about their stories. They were there recently, and other folks have been there too. So our collection of money for our children's offering is going to go to the Betania School. And so I'm going to pass the basket around, and you can either put in your money or pray a blessing as the basket goes past you. So, our world can be a place where bad things happen, where things aren't very pleasant. Thank you. Like we just talked about the hurricane in Puerto Rico that brought devastation to the whole island, that ripped down trees and people's houses, and people died. It was pretty sad. In our Bible story that we're going to hear about in the sermon today, there was something that was sad too, that there was a big flood in which God destroyed the whole earth. Have you heard that story? The guy named Noah was able to build a boat and bring in all the animals and save them from the flood and get started again. And after that flood happened, God promised Noah that he would take care of Noah and his kids and the animals, and that he wouldn't make a big flood that flooded the whole world like that again. And so one of the things that we see is that even in the destruction that happens in our world, even when there's death and sad things, that new life can come out of that. So it can be kind of hard to see, and it can be kind of hard to go through those times in which there's death and sad things. But when we're going through those things, we can have a little bit of hope of what might grow next. So right now we're starting a season of the year in the church called Lent. And Lent is the time leading up to Easter. I'm sure you guys have all heard of Easter. Easter is a pretty cool celebration. Sometimes we do hunts for Easter eggs and get candy and stuff like that. It's pretty neat. But before Easter, there's kind of a season that isn't so fun. Sometimes people decide to fast. They decide maybe not to eat meat or give up other things. It's kind of a time of thinking about sad things in the world. And so that's the time that's starting now. It's the time before Easter. We're not ready for the Easter celebration yet until we've gone through kind of a more somber, sad time. So usually when you guys come up here to Children's Time, we sing an Alleluia song, right? But today we didn't do that. We sang a different song. And that's because we don't say Alleluia during Lent. The church kind of fasts from that word. And on Easter, then we bring it out and we say Alleluia, Alleluia. But not during Lent. So another thing that we're doing for Lent is that we have these bulbs. Have you ever seen a flower bulb before? You can pass these around and touch it. It's kind of rough. Kind of looks like an onion, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This is how onions grow. You're welcome to pass them around and touch them. These are going to grow into flowers. We don't know exactly what kind of flowers they're going to be, but we do know that they're flower bulbs. And you can see that even though they're kind of rough and they have kind of dead skin on them, there's something new growing here. Do you see this little shoot that's coming out of there? There's something new that's going to grow out of this rough, dead skin of the bulb. And that's kind of what we're doing during Lent here. We see this new thing growing, but we also see the rough, dead skin. We're kind of living with both of those things for the next number of Sundays. So what we're going to do now is we're going to plant our bulbs, and they're going to be up here during Lent, and we're going to see how they might sprout. Some of them might not sprout. They might not grow. Others might grow. We might see different kinds of flowers. And so we'll watch them over the next few weeks as we move through Lent. So what we're going to do is we're going to get these glass things, and we're going to put marbles in them, and we're going to put water in them, and then we're going to put the bulbs in them. So I'd like you to help me with that, and you can follow my instructions as we do it. I'm going to take off my microphone so that we don't make loud noise for the people up there.
And you guys can take turns putting stones in here. Everyone come up closer and start putting in stones. Thank you.
All right, let's finish our time together with a prayer. Dear God, thank you for each one of the children here. Thank you for watching over them and taking care of them during sad times. Help each of them to know that even in the sad times, you are bringing new life. Please be with the people of Puerto Rico whose offerings we're sending to help rebuild. Help us to remember both people who are having a hard time and the way that you're helping. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The scripture this morning comes from Genesis 9, 8 to 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark."
Génesis 9. 8 al 17. Dios habló también a Noé y a sus hijos. Con él les dijo: "Miren, yo establezco mi pacto con ustedes y con sus descendientes que les nazcan después, y también con todos los seres vivos que están con ustedes, las aves, los animales y todas las bestias de la tierra que están con ustedes, tanto los que salieron del arca como todos los animales de la tierra.
I will establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the whole earth. God said, this is a sign of the covenant that I make between you and me, and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth.
Estableceré mi pacto con ustedes, y no volveré a exterminar a ningún ser con aguas de diluvio, ni habrá otro diluvio que destruyera la tierra. Dios también dijo: Esta es la señal del pacto que yo establezco con ustedes y con todo ser vivo que está con ustedes por los siglos y para siempre. He puesto mi arco en las nubes, el cual servirá como señal de mi pacto con la tierra.
When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between you and me and every living creatures of all flesh. And the water shall never come again. They shall never become a flood and destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, "This is a sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all living flesh that is on the earth."
Cuando yo haga venir las nubes sobre la tierra, entonces mi arco se dejará ver en las nubes, y me acordaré de mi pacto, el pacto que he hecho con ustedes y con todo ser vivo. De cualquier especie, el arco estará en las nubes, y yo lo veré, y me acordaré de mi pacto perpetuo. Es el pacto entre Dios y todo ser vivo, con todos los seres que hay sobre la tierra. Dios también le dijo a Noé: Esta es la señal del pacto que ha establecido con todos los seres vivos que habitan sobre la tierra.
The word of the Lord.
thanks be to God. Palabra del Señor.
Our preacher this morning is Pastor Nelson, and would you please pray with me for Nelson as we prepare our hearts? God, you have placed these words on Nelson's heart. May they be right in your spirit. Mm-hmm. And may our hearts and ears be ready to receive this message. Thank you, God. Amen. Amen.
Cape Town, South Africa, is running out of water. The first major modern city of the world to experience that. Starting February 1, residents of Cape Town are required to use no more than 13 gallons of water per person per day. By April, the city officials say there may be no water at all. The worst drought on record for South Africa, probably a symptom of climate change, has brought on this crisis, along with the fact that Cape Town has grown more rapidly in population than the environment can sustain. What can you do with 13 gallons a day? You can take a 90-second shower. You can have one toilet flush. You can wash your hands a few times. You may cook if you are careful. You can wash dishes, but save the water to water your plants. And occasionally, you can do laundry. Don't wash your car or fill up your swimming pool. The crisis in South Africa, one of many places where scientists see alarming evidence of climate change, raises the question of how we humans are doing in our stewardship of the environment. God once said, "Let us make humankind in our image, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the wild animals of the earth." So God created us in God's image and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves upon the earth." God has given us dominion over the earth to serve as stewards of a world God loves. And as we see in the Hebrew Bible, humans have an elevated role in this created order. When I look at your heavens, the work of your hands, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of us, or mortals that you care for us? Yet you have made us a little lower than God, and have crowned us with glory and honor. You have given us dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under our feet. We are made a little lower than God, and are managers of this planet on God's behalf. Now, it's not as if God just created the world and turned it over to us and said, "Do with it whatever you want." Repeatedly, the scriptures say in various ways, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." That was a favorite verse of the Anabaptists. "The earth is the Lord's. It doesn't belong to you state officials. The earth is the Lord's, and we worship God." And Psalm 65 describes God's tender, ongoing care of creation. Psalm 65 says, "You visit the earth, O God, and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy." This is a God who delights in and fills creation with divine presence. Several cultures of the Near East have their own creation myths. We have our creation story in Genesis. And these creation myths of several cultures in the region are symbolic narratives that explain how the world came to be and what is to be the human role in this world. And typically these stories from Babylon and Egypt and the region tell of creation happening through some kind of violence. You know, there's a conflict within a family of the gods, and the son kills the mother, or God's struggle with some great sea monster, chaos monster, and defeat the monster, and then the corpse of the victim of that battle gets cut up, and that becomes the earth and the sky and the planets. And so with the world coming into existence by such violence in these other stories of the ancient Near East, the human response naturally was to fear God, fear the gods, and maybe try to appease them with sacrifices, give them food at sacrifice to make them happy. In contrast to this violence that's so prevalent in ancient mythology of the Near East, the biblical narrative of creation is tender. God creates. God sees that it is good. God loves what he has made. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son. God loves you and me and even the trees on the streets in Elkhart. And the biblical understanding is that violence starts and comes not from God, but comes from human sin, from human refusal to play our role in the created order. So Cain rose up and killed Abel, and starts a cycle of violence that continues to this day. God grieves this violence, this warping of our stewardship of creation. God grieves this violence so much that at one point, God decides to reboot the experiment. He's going to start over again with this human project. Genesis 6 tells us that God said to Noah, "I am going to put an end to all people on earth. For the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Make yourself an ark. Get ready, Noah. It's coming." High school students in Florida needed an ark this week, a shelter from the violence. Student Samantha Grady told a reporter, "I heard two shots. My friend pushed me, and I ran to the left side of the classroom. That's where there was a big bookshelf, and we all huddled there together. We clamped really close, tightly together, and then students in front of me pushed a big cabinet to block some of the bullets. There were two people in the hallway that I know, and they were shot. The shooter came for our classroom. He came after he shot those other two in the hallway. The door was locked, thankfully, but he shot quite a few bullets into the glass and hit people behind me." And Samantha's best friend died beside her. Our schools have become killing places. And the massacre in Florida this week was the 18th case of gun violence in schools in the United States since January 1, 18 times. And senior political officials still are unwilling to even consider regulation, even regulation on the exact kind of assault rifle that this disturbed young man used this week and that was used in Las Vegas months ago. This is mismanagement of God's creation, and God grieves. Paul's words in Colossians 1 provide a theological framework for how we respond to violence and sin, how we respond to abuse of the environment. Paul says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created. What does it mean to say everything was created through Jesus? I'm not sure. But I believe that creation happened and continues to happen with the same love and tenderness that we see in Jesus, who said, "Not even a sparrow falls without God noticing." God created the world through Jesus, through that kind of care, through the Jesus who said, "Look at the lilies. See how God takes care of them. Won't God also take care of you?" And when we become Christ-like in our engagement of people and environment, including in our response to these outrages against the environment, when we become Christ-like, we reflect the same nurturing love, creative love, that we see in Jesus. Did you ever notice in Genesis 1 that God says to humans, "I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, and you shall have them for food"? Plants and fruits. Where am I going with this? Adam and Eve were vegetarian. You read the Bible, it's right there. Meat eating does not become part of human practice until after the fall and after the flood. Becoming vegetarian after heart surgery 2 years ago shifted my attitude toward animals and toward creation. Now, I still believe that it is possible to treat animals humanely and to eat them. And I still sometimes eat fish. But sadly, the massive meat industry today too often is not humane, if you really know what those animals go through. And aside from any ethical issues of how we care for animals, there is the environmental reality that raising animals in large numbers for supermarkets and restaurants creates huge environmental pollution through animal waste and methane gas. And it is environmentally inefficient to raise crops which then need to be fed to the animals, which then need to be slaughtered, and then packaged and refrigerated and hauled and preserved in our refrigerators. It's far less impact on the environment if we just start back there and eat the plants. Whole lot less energy, much better use of our environment. So I would challenge you, if you don't want to be vegetarian, okay, cut back on meat. Try making dishes with smaller amounts of meat. Put more grains, beans, vegetables, nuts in your diet. Fewer hamburgers and fewer spare ribs. You'll save money. Your body will feel better. It will be good for your heart and good for the planet. Human mismanagement of the planet got so bad that God restarted the experiment with a flood. And when that cataclysm was over, God set a rainbow in the sky and said, "I will never do that again." Now, the Hebrew word for bow, rainbow, is exactly the same word to describe a bow used in war. Hebrews only have one word for the two things. God hung up his bow in the heavens, never to use it again against the earth. The bow in the heavens faces away from the earth. The arrow is aimed toward empty space. God has disarmed. And now we can follow God's lead, and we can turn our destructive powers away from other humans, away from a beleaguered planet, and we can recycle plastic and paper. We can get efficient appliances and vehicles. We might insulate our homes. We can carpool, even travel less. We can ride bike. We can take our own bags to the grocery store so they don't put one item in a plastic bag and hand it to you. We can speak and act against nuclear weapons, perhaps the greatest outrage against the planet, at a time that nuclear weapons once again are being developed by the United States and Russia and other nations. We can wear warmer clothing inside in winter and set our thermostats lower. We can eat less meat. We might plant trees. We can support local agriculture. We can acknowledge that climate change is happening, and not get caught up in the politics of that. Just listen to what the scientists are saying, and we can insist that our government and society take action. Let's care for creation. God does. Amen.
J. turn in your blue in the new song folders to number 54. I saw a river flowing, number 54.